is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He is Anthony Pusick. How are you, sir?
Another busy night in hockey. A shakeup in the top five. I mean, this is big stuff. It really is.
Let's get to the playoffs already.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, where do you begin?
A couple more X's on the board now.
Yeah, a few teams have clinched playoff berths. So congratulations to the Boston Bruins, who didn't play and clinched a playoff berth. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers, who lost again and still clinch a playoff berth. Panthers have won just three times in their last 10 games. And listen, you lose Ekblad. Barkov had been out for a stretch, but he's been back over the last couple of games. So you kind of just wonder, you know, you're getting to the time of year where it's one of two things. It's that you're bored, okay? You just want to get to the playoffs, and we all get excited about the President's Trophy and matchups. But I think that there are certain teams like the Panthers, like, listen, we went to the Stanley Cup last year. We know we're good this year. Does it really matter if we win the Atlantic or not? Let's just get all our ducks in a row. You know, you're taking on teams like last night, the Islanders, desperate for a win. Like, they really needed the win badly to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. So, you know how close this league is, Anthony. Any kind of loss of attention, any kind of the team maybe wanting it just a little bit more can be all the difference. So, is there a concern with the Panthers, with the injuries? Did we overrate them? Is it a team just twiddling their thumbs until the postseason begins? But it is kind of odd, a team that we both believed was easily the best team in the NHL has now was like 3-6-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not overly concerned. I'm concerned about my futures bet on the President's Trophy. That I'm concerned about. But I'm not concerned about Florida. They're injured. They've got some issues, and they're getting back healthy. But when you don't have Ekblad for a stretch of games, you didn't have Barkov in that game against the Rangers and beyond. He's back now. Again, this is kind of like, and now Vegas is in a much different situation because they've struggled a lot. You just have to be healthy and ready and playing your best when the playoffs come. Now, it would be nice if you get a couple of those games in before the playoffs start. But we've seen Florida go on a tear this year, Don, where they look like the best team in hockey. And if they're healthy, I don't have many concerns about them. Now, does this hurt their standing? Yes, possibly. Does that hurt your chances of making it far? You don't get the first in the Atlantic and Boston gets it and you have to play Toronto or, heaven forbid, you have to play Tampa, who we both think are a much tougher first-round opponent than maybe a Toronto would be. Yeah, that's a level of concern. But in terms of, do I think that this is now the bottom's falling out of them and it's all over? No. But yeah, is this a team that knows that there's a bigger season ahead, and they know that, you know, they just have to get there, get healthy, and they'll be okay? Yeah, maybe. But you know, do they want to crawl out of like the 8th seed? They're not going to get there. But do you want to put yourself in a position where it's going to be harder for you to get back to that point? No. So I'm sure they'd love to win the division. I'm sure they'd love to win the President's Trophy. But Boston's playing well again, 6-4-0 in their last 10. And now they have a two-point lead on them. But they have played one more game, so Florida can tie them. Florida just has to get themselves right before the big season, Stanley Cup playoffs, and they'll be okay.
And just get healthy. But the Elite Eight that we had that can win the President's Trophy, I think Winnipeg is now out of that conversation. Just 4 wins in their last 10. They've got 94 points. Lost last night to Vegas. So I think Florida's still in that conversation. So I think there's still 7 teams that can win the President's Trophy, from the Rangers, 102 points, down to Florida, who sits as a 7 overall in the league with 97 points. But just take a look at how the top teams have played. Rangers are 8-2-0 in their last 10, 4-game winning streak. Dallas has won 6 straight games. That was a big win in Vancouver last night. They've got 101 points. Carolina, 7-2-1. I don't think they're getting talked about enough. You know, Frederick Anderson's come back, pitched a shutout last night against Detroit. They are third. Boston's 6-4, as you mentioned, plus 40 goal differential, 99 points. Vancouver slipped a couple of games, but they have a 6-3-1 record over their last 10. The Avalanche are 8-1-1 in their last 10. Like, so a lot of these elite teams are starting to play great at the right time. We'll see if that carries over, because 8, 9, 10 games left, Anthony, is still a long stretch of time for things to kind of, the worm to kind of turn on you a little bit. But I think it's going to be fascinating down the stretch. But we still get into those positions of, is there something wrong with Winnipeg, or are they just disengaged? I think there's something wrong with Winnipeg, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they saw value in winning the Central Division, and they're letting it slip through their fingers the way Colorado and Dallas have played. And now they're going to be stuck in a matchup with Dallas or Colorado in the first round instead of possibly winning the division and getting a much favorable matchup either against Nashville or whoever gets that last wild card spot.
Right now it's the Kings because right Vegas won. 7-2-1 in the last 10.
Yeah, so it's all about how you're playing at the right time. And, you know, Nashville's streak ends last night.
Don't figure.
In ugly fact, I was going to mention it. I've told you my formula of streaks. When a team has a long losing streak or winning streak, if they extend it by something freakish, that usually is a signal that the streak is about to end. Meaning, like Nashville.
I'd say an 8-4 game qualifies, yeah.
But no, but what I'm saying
I know what
is,
you mean, but,
is the game
yeah.
before was a freakish down 3-0, down 4-1, they come back, they win the game, should have been an indication that this was their last ride. They had a 2-0 lead last night in Arizona, quick couple of goals by Zucker, looked like they were on their way to cruise, ended up losing the game 8-4, Cooley's first NHL hat trick. So Arizona, that's going to be an interesting game Saturday between the Rangers and the Coyotes, because the Coyotes are, you know, they seem to get an infusion of a little spunk, if you will, with Doan.
That's my favorite word.
They're interesting.
Well, they could score. They certainly can score.
And if the Rangers think, okay, we got an easy one tonight, and get ready for all those divisional matchups next week against the Penguins and the Devils and all that, you know, you can have what happened to them in Columbus a month ago when it looked like, oh, they're going to win their. They're going to win their 11th in a row. They're in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Blue Jackets are awful, and then they put up a dud. So I would not. I would not be confident that it's just going. The Rangers are going to cruise, but good for the Coyotes. They're playing well, and we'll see what they can do with the Rangers on Saturday. But they do end Nashville's streak.
Yeah, look. I mean, I think that's the one thing that you got to look at, right, Don? I mean, you could take a look and say, hey. This could be a track meet between the Rangers and the Coyotes come the weekend, because the Rangers had been playing. I mean, yes, Lindgren came back and his body needs to be studied by some type of lab to figure out how he was able to get back from whatever his injury was in the time that he did play over 20 minutes yesterday. Adam Fox had to leave because he got hit in the face. Keandre Miller actually left the bench in the third. Chad Ruido went to the boards really hard. Like, the Rangers' decor is really taking a couple of hits here, but also as a result, they've been playing a lot looser offensively. Now, last night was an unbelievable, and I'm sure we'll get into it, playoff-style atmosphere in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Amazing game in general. But yeah, this is a game where the Rangers have played like 2 weeks of really tough games. Every opponent is a playoff team or fighting for playoff seeding or needed to play spoiler for the Rangers, this, that, or the other. The Coyotes are going to be is that team that really is just playing out the string here, and you saw the jolt of energy Doan gave them. Those are the games you got to be scared of, because you let your guard down. You could let in a couple goals. I would guess Jonathan Quick plays that game, trying to get the most wins in for an American-born goaltender in NHL history. Got to play good in front of him. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game, especially off of an emotional victory in Colorado last night.
Yeah, for sure. So that's going to be an interesting game. And, you know, the complaints with the Rangers have been their inability at 5-on-5. It's been a problem for Zibanejad, Kreider, really that top line. However, the line of Trocheck and Panarin and Lafreniere are the best 5-on-5 line in the National Hockey League. So
right.
it is kind of interesting. It's really just, when you talk about their lack of 5-on-5 play, it's really about two players. It's about Zibanejad, it's about Kreider. They're both dynamic players with the man advantage. But you play the majority of the game 5-on-5. Kreider disappears, Zibanejad disappears, and the players are just too good to just disappear for 70% of the game, 80% of the game when you're playing even strength. So we're nitpicking the team that technically is the best team in the National Hockey League right now, standings wise. But this is what you do when you're trying to compete for a Stanley Cup. What weaknesses can be exploited once you get to the second season? Quickly, missed opportunities in the Eastern Conference. Flyers lose in Montreal to the Canadiens.
That's a bad loss.
Capitals lose to the Toronto in Toronto.
Can't say it's a bad loss. It's a loss.
No, it's a loss. And the Red Wings get shut out by Carolina. Again, not a bad loss. Carolina's one of the best teams in the NHL, but the Islanders trying to take advantage of that. They're the one team racing for a playoff spot that did win.
That was a big win
Florida.
Last night. Big win.
It's a big win because, listen, they're still 4 points back of Washington. Same amount of games played. But I'm looking at the Islanders' best way of making the playoffs, is actually Philadelphia, where they're 5 points back of Philly, but they've got two games in hand. So if they win those two games in hand, it's a 1 point race. Philadelphia, you know, they had a lot of excitement in that game against the Rangers. They did earn a point. They were probably the better team for the 65 minutes that game was played, or 60 plus minutes the game was played. But they might have a new goaltender.
Pearson?
I don't know what the plan's going to be. Apparently, doing my research, you know, he skipped his military service in Russia. He was released by his team there. He can join the Flyers. Now, if he joins the Flyers, he is eligible for postseason play and can be a part of what they're doing. If he ends up going to the AHL, from what I understand, then he could get locked out of the postseason. So I don't know what Philadelphia is going to do. Clearly, they need goaltending. This kind of reminds me, you weren't born yet, but in 1988, the Devils were kind of where actually worse than where the Flyers are. They're out of the playoffs. And then after the Olympics, Sean Burke joined the Devils, and they threw him in goal, and they went like 10-1 down the stretch and snuck into the playoffs on the last day of the season, actually made a run to the conference final that year. Your dad will tell you the stories of that. It was, you know, Rangers were playing the Nordiques, the Penguins were playing the Hartford Whalers, the Devils were playing Chicago to take on the Blackhawks, and all these wacky things had to happen, and the Rangers ended up winning, Penguins won, but the Devils had to lose. Devils ended up going to overtime, beat Darren Pang on a John McClain goal, eliminated the Rangers and the Penguins, and the Devils ended up getting in and upset the Islanders and the Capitals and went seven games with Boston.
Don, you're right. That could happen here because Danny Briere actually just introduced Fedotov to the media. He's on the active roster, eligible to play as soon as Saturday, and eligible to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, there you go.
So that is your ringer, if you want to call it that. Now, he's obviously much better than a ringer. He's a guy that the Flyers think could be part of the future here. And I think Ersson's actually played pretty well, all things considered. But Hart was on another level this year, kind of what everybody thought he could be when he was taken so high in the draft for the Flyers. And of course, he had to step away, and they kind of were missing that because a big part of what the Flyers do so well is play defense. That's why they have a -12 goal differential. They only have 218 goals for this year. That's almost as much as the Islanders, who we know have offensive struggles. The Capitals only have 199, but Alex Ovechkin finally woke up. If you have a goalie like him, and that gives you the Carter Hart. The play of what Carter Hart was giving you earlier in the year, you can win some games. Now, you take a look at that Islander schedule, Don. Big game against Tampa, then a big game on April Fool's Day in Philly. Right. That's a huge, huge game. But then after that, Blackhawks, Blue Jackets, Predators, Rangers. I don't know how inclined the Rangers are going to be, depending on where they are in the President's Trophy race or the division, to go full bore all out. I don't think Peter Laviolette knows what the break, where the break is on a car. I don't think that they're going to be taking it easy. But you take a look at the next six games, two games that are basically playoff games for the Islanders, three winnable ones in my opinion. I'm not saying Nashville isn't great. We could talk about them a little later. But you're home against the Blackhawks and the Predators, and in between you have a game against the Blue Jackets. If you win those three games, and you find a way to beat the Flyers and maybe get a point against the Lightning, that's your path. There's no losing games here for the Islanders going forward. They have to get the job done. And this is really the chunk that they need. I haven't looked at the Flyers schedule yet.
I got it in front of me.
Because you're a professional.
They've got the Blackhawks.
Well, there you go.
All right, then the game against the Islanders.
Okay. Wow, and their schedule's actually easier. Right. Jeez.
Then they've got a four-game road trip at Buffalo, at Columbus, back-to-back games. Then they're back in Montreal again, at the Rangers, home against the Devils, home against the Caps.
Their schedule is much easier than the
much
Islanders.
Much
easier.
And like you said, now that the Capitals could be, you don't know. When you get to these last couple of games of the season, right? Devils could be eliminated. The Capitals could have clinched a playoff berth, might desperately need the game, might be eliminated. We don't know last game of the season how things are going to go. But it's a four-game road trip. But all very winnable games, although they just lost to Montreal last night. But with the new goaltender, winnable games, teams that will already be mathematically eliminated when you're playing them. They do have the back-to-backs, but then they get 2 days off before Montreal and then a day off before the Ranger game. And then the last two games of the season are both at home. So I give Philadelphia the nod. The only thing Islanders have going for them is the two games in hand. But that doesn't get them there. That gets them within a point. So they're still going to have to need a break somewhere. I think the game against Tampa tomorrow is huge. What's that?
Capitals schedule, Boston, home.
Yeah.
At Buffalo, that's whatever. At home against Pittsburgh, that could be... It's not easy.
No.
In Carolina, not easy. Home against the Senators, at the Red Wings, at the Sabres. That's where they're going to have to make their hay. If the Capitals want to hold off the Islanders, those three games are going to be must-win games for them. Because then you got Lightning, Bruins, Flyers. So you have to hope you win a couple of those. But that three-game stretch, same thing with the Islanders. When you get that three-game stretch where there's winnable games that you have to win, you got to take advantage of it. Philly does not have the easiest path here. The Islanders and the Capitals have stretches of games where they're like, this is it. This is their moment. This is their chance to be able to get to make hay. And taking a look at, see, that's what makes it so interesting, Dom, because there's so many teams fighting for positioning, fighting for spots that you can't say, oh, this team's going to take it easy. I say, oh, yeah, what are the Rangers going to be playing for in the middle of April? Well, actually, they might be playing for the number one in the Metro.
You said the Laviolette's not the only time he might actually rest
is if those guys are hurt.
Not, you know, because you heard him yesterday talk about, I guess there was the insinuation that maybe, you know, why are you playing Lindgren? He just can't, why are you rushing him back? Or what's the deal with Trouba? Are you going to rest? And he's like, listen, when a player is cleared, he plays. Because otherwise, you're scratching a healthy player. You're a healthy scratch. So if the medical people tell me Ryan Lindgren can play, then he's going to play. Like, that's just how Peter is. Now, he could scale down minutes. And then if the last game of the season, they've already clinched or locked into their spot, then maybe he'll say, you know what, I'm going to give Lindgren a rest, I'm going to give Trouba a rest, and let Ruedel play, and let Scanlon play, and whatever, on that last day. But otherwise, he's just going to play it out. Guys play. You know, he's not going to be stupid about it, but at the same time, he's not going to be, you know, NBAing it with a bunch of load management and all that. So I would think the Rangers are going to be engaged right down till maybe that game against Ottawa.
Yep.
The last game of the season, Ottawa's eliminated, and they're locked in. You might see a different lineup that day. But from this day, tomorrow against Arizona, right until the second-to-last game of the season, I think you're going to see an engaged team. So the Islanders and the Flyers and all the teams that play the Rangers, you know, get ready for that. And I think most teams will play that way. You mentioned Buffalo. Well, what is Buffalo? On any given night, Buffalo can be a layup, and then they could be your worst nightmare. You have no idea. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. So just play it out. I think that's a huge game tomorrow in Tampa. We know how well the Lightning have played. The Lightning still have a chance to catch Toronto for the 3 seed, although I think it's going to be a lot of heavy lifting. But that's a tough spot coming off an emotional win last night, which they had to hold on for dear life. They had to kill a couple of penalties late.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Varlamov was really good down the stretch, and you're starting to see, you know, is Varlamov going to be playing a lot of these big games now? Is he going to be the number one goaltender moving forward with the struggles of Sorokin? So,
yeah.
You know, that's obviously something Patrick Waugh's got to worry about. But I think tomorrow is going to be a really, really big day for the Islanders. Like you said, they really can't afford to lose.
No, look, Philly's got – we looked at the schedule, and I made a mistake when I talked about it the second time. Philly's got actually the easy schedule. And if this kid that comes over from Russia is as advertised, they have that ringer that they need that gives them that boost that they haven't had. And that's why it's been so important that Tortorella's managed to keep them where they are. So if you're the Islanders, you're probably fighting the Red Wings and the Caps, because I think Tampa, even though they don't have an X next to their name yet, I think they're in. So you're really fighting for Washington here, and there's going to be that stretch of games where it's I have to have these games, and these are playoff games, and then a three-game stretch where it's like these games are against lesser opponents, and we have to take care of business. The Islanders had that win streak in February. They're going to need to have something like that again if they want to sneak themselves into the playoffs here.
Now, you mentioned Vegas because of their 7-2-1 run, take over third place. Kings lose, but Kings are still in good shape. They're 5 points ahead of the Blues with a game in hand. So,
yeah.
Blues had a nice win last night against the Flames. Buchnevich had a couple of goals, but they're running out of time. St. Louis is not going to make it. So we're locked into the eight in the West. Question is, do the Kings or the Knights end up as the 3 seed? But getting back to that Kings loss in Edmonton, another 3-point night for Connor McDavid.
You're on this, huh?
I was texting with Anthony last night.
Me and Don don't text often because Don's got a lot going on.
You know,
but when he texts me, it's for very important things.
And I was like, you know what? we've been talking about on the podcast. Can McDavid get to 1,000 points before the end of the season? It seems like it's going to be an impossibility. I forget what number he was at. It was like 940 or whatever, like a month ago. And I'm like, you never know. He's at 972 points now with 11 games left. I don't know.
It'd be something. I mean, I got to tell you, if he gets on that type of stretch, there's a couple things to take from that. One of the greatest players to ever walk the earth. Two, be careful of the Oilers in the playoffs, which seems like a dumb thing.
We were talking to somebody, they've got really good Stanley Cup odds.
Yeah. We were talking to John in his office about, and again, like, you know, betting and everything of that nature. You take a look at, okay, well, that's because everybody knows the name recognition. Everybody knows McDavid. But against a Vegas team that may not be whole the way that it looks right now, why not? Why can't they win the first round? And then the way Vancouver's going, something, Don, that slipped me. I know that you know because you know everything. Thatcher Demko was put on IR. He has a lower body injury. You take a look at Vancouver and you look to yourself, wow, why are they giving up so many goals? Well, they don't have Thatcher Demko, who's, in my mind, the key piece to this whole thing for them. I know their offense has been carrying them, but the reason that it's going to be different from years past for them is that Thatcher Demko was playing at a Vezina-like level for a stretch there.
That's a big loss.
There's no indication that he'll be out for the playoffs. But again, you want to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs, not limping in and hoping that you turn it on and turn it around.
You also want to be playing. You know,
that'd be helpful.
You don't want to be sitting there a couple of weeks cold and then jump into a first round series against a really game, say Nashville team or Vegas team and get bit in the first round. No, you're absolutely right. That's a very, very scary proposition for Vancouver moving forward. But 28 points, 11 games left. Just say, keep an eye. I don't think it's going to happen, but he's got 122 points this year. It's really going to be fun to see just how close. And then this guy's going to eclipse 1,000 points, and he's still a kid. It's pretty crazy to me what Connor McDavid's been able to accomplish in his National Hockey League career. And again, not trying to be biased, but I think the only thing that's really been missing on his resume is a big-time run. I know they made it to the conference final a couple of years ago, but they ended up getting swept by Colorado, so they really didn't have much in that third round. But if the more playoff experience, if this team ever made it to a Stanley Cup, and if he's able to get a ring like Crosby has, like Ovechkin has, like Kane has and Taves, like that, it's something that you want. You know, Gretzky had it. All the great players, Yzerman eventually got his ring. That's the one thing that's going to be missing if he eclipses all of these records and has all of these accolades. Not having a cup, not even an appearance in a Stanley Cup final, is going to hurt him. So we'll see what's going to end up happening to him before his career is over. You ready? It's Friday. You know what that means.
I think it's time.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5. Yeah! Number 5.
I've got the Avalanche at number 5. I know they slipped up last night, but give credit to the Rangers for that win. McKinnon had his 19-game point streak snapped. He had a point in every home game this year. He was finally shut down, but boy, they're just an exceptionally deep team. And give Alexander Georgiev a lot of credit. He doesn't have the postseason experience. That might be something that could be looked upon as a bit of an Achilles heel for them going into the playoffs, but everything else is pretty sound. Taves, wow, what were the Islanders thinking trading him away? Such a good team. I got the Avalanche at 5.
Yeah, I agree with you. 8-1-1 in their last 10. At the present moment, playing like the second-best team in the West, which gives you an indication of where I'm going for the rest of my top 5. Look, I think that Georgiev took his lumps last year when they lost to Seattle. I think that they now know how important it is to take care of business in that first round. There's going to be no cupcake in this one because they're most likely going to end up playing whoever comes in second in the third, in the Central. And if it's Winnipeg and they're struggling, Colorado's got to take care of business, make sure that they don't play with their food, and make sure they get to that second round. So, yeah, I think that despite losing last night, it was one of the best games, I think, of the season. Very playoff-like atmosphere in Colorado. Both teams played really well, didn't give an inch. I like their defense. Obviously, we know that they're very talented up front with McKinnon and Rantanen, and you mentioned Taves on the blue line. You can't forget Makar. I like Colorado. They are number 5.
Number 4.
Now I'm going to keep Boston in the top 5 at number 4. 6-4-0 over their last 10 games. Plus 40 goal differential is still you know, pretty high up there. I do. There are things that I worry about with this team. I think the loss of Krejci and Bergeron are going to be a bit of a problem. But still, they are deep, and they're gritty, and they know how to win close games, even though they've got so many overtime losses. But they're in every game that they play. I can't knock the Bruins out of the top five. I've got them at four.
This could be very boring. I agree. The West teams have kind of slipped a little bit here within the last week, and the East teams have really come on. Everything you said about Boston, yeah, there may be some concerns, but they've got the most points in the Atlantic Division. They're tied with Carolina for the third most points in the National Hockey League, 6-4-0 in their last 10. I like their goaltending. I like their depth at defense. They're not as deep at forward anymore, and we've talked about that, but you know what? This is a team that I don't think you want to face in the first round of the playoffs. I have the Bruins at number four.
Number three.
Carolina Hurricanes, 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've got Anderson back, pitched a shutout last night. I've said this many times about it. It's not about one guy. They've got a lot of deep scoring. Nobody that really pops at you. You know, Aho's probably their best forward. Sergachev would have more points. Svechnikov, would have more points if not for his injury earlier in the season. They get tons of points from their blue line. Just as good, well-rounded, well-coached team. And they, in, as good as the Rangers have been, they still can't shake the Carolina Hurricanes. We're going to go back to that 1-0 win a couple of weeks ago as maybe the reason why the Rangers will win the division, and that went right down to the nub, so I got Carolina at three.
Lockstep. 7-2-1 in their last 10. They were hovering around the top five for me for a while, and I didn't give it to them. Why? Because I didn't trust their goaltending. Freddie Anderson's back. I think that is, quite frankly, the biggest difference in them, because I like everything else about their team. I think Rob Brindamore's a great coach. They have 99 points. They're three behind the Rangers. They've played one more game, but Carolina is a team that is built for 16. They're built to win. They're built to win in the playoffs. I think you're going to see that. I don't think anybody wants to face them. I've said that a couple times, but that's why these teams are in the top five. I have Carolina at number three.
Number two.
Welcome, Dallas Stars.
All right, yep, there we go.
we haven't talked about them much this year, but here's why I've got them at number two. That was a war at the top of the Central Division. Now, Winnipeg's kind of tapped out lately, but Colorado continues to put pressure, and Dallas still, with this winning streak, is in first place. And maybe not from the points on the blue line, but from a forward standpoint, they remind me a lot of Carolina. It's not about one guy. Now, Robertson is their top scorer with 76 points, but you've got Pavelski with 62, Duchesne with 62, Hintz with 61, Johnston with 57. Ben had a big goal last night. He's got 57 points. You know, they don't have a 30-goal scorer, but they have five 20-goal scorers, and by the time the season is more than that. They've got 6 20-goal scorers. Ben's going to get there. That would make it seven. They could end up, if Harley's got a good close to the season, I mean, they could have 8 20-goal scorers. It's ridiculous. This is a really good Dallas team. I've loved them since the beginning of the season. You know that. I've got them at two.
Yeah, I agree. They have the most points in the West. They're on a 6-game winning streak, 8-2-0 in their last 10. Jake Oettinger is not playing up to the level that I think that he's capable of at the moment. But I think they have more than enough good goaltending in order to win in the playoffs. Winning this Central Division is going to be tough. And at the present moment, they've pulled away at least to have a 3-point advantage. Now, Colorado can make that up with a win, but you can't ignore how they're playing. They're 24-9-5 on the road. They have pretty good splits. Home, they're 22-10-4, plus 53 goal differential. They have the most goals, I think, in the National Hockey League. Yes, they have one more goal than Colorado. This is a really good offense, and you mentioned it, Don, when you have that many goal scorers at close to 20 goals, when you can score from all over the place and on any given line, that's great for the playoffs. I have the Stars at number two, and I think this is the first time we've been in lockstep since the beginning of the year.
Number one.
Yeah, it's got to be the New York Rangers, and I know you can call us biased, but they've got the most points, they've got the most wins, they've been the most consistent team all year long. And it's not like they haven't faced adversity. They had to win a game against Philadelphia on Tuesday, down three defensemen. And Wennberg didn't play in that game, and yet they still found a way to beat a real game Philadelphia team. Shesterkin's kind of coming into his own a little bit. The stats may not show it, but even in the Philly game, Anthony, I thought he was one of the stars of the game despite giving up five goals.
I agree.
He held them in. I mean, listen, we nitpick them because we see them all the time and because they're a top team, but are they good enough 5-on-5? Are they too reliant on their power play? Is Shesterkin too inconsistent? Is Trouba not as good a defenseman as people that, like, blah, blah, blah. They got 102 points with a bullet. It's the second fastest Ranger team to 100 points in franchise history. The 71-72 team did it in 67 games. The Rangers were able to do it in 72 games. So it just shows you, from a history standpoint, how good this team has been. It's the New York Rangers, number one.
This is a gauntlet, Don. We talked about it. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. We said that this Rangers team could drop themselves out of the top five if they have struggles during this stretch where they play a lot of teams that are going to be in the playoffs. If you remember correctly, even though that they were doing well, a lot of the losses they had in late February, early March were to playoff teams. They lost to Tampa. They lost to Florida. And everyone said, well, look, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, but when they get to playing those tough teams 5-on-5 and those teams that are going to be in the playoffs and they get into neutral zone traps, it's really hard for them to break out of it. Well, they responded by beating Florida after going down in the Garden. They beat a game Flyer team that needed the game without three defensemen in Wennberg, as you mentioned. And then probably the most impressive for me was how they played against Colorado last night.
Right.
Yes, that there were some struggles. There was Mika Zibanejad's line was on the ice for that second goal that tied the game, but Kaapo Kakko scored. Chris Kreider found it was in his office in front on the power play. Hopefully that gets him going. Mika March hasn't been what it usually is, but you're starting to see some flashes. He tried to Forsberg again in the shootout. This is a team right now that's clicking despite the fact that they have injuries. Ryan Lindgren's back. That's huge. Trouba should be back within a week, hopefully. I think Igor's playing great. Jonathan Quick has played great when he's needed to be called on. There's every team that's in this top five has their flaws. Right. This is not a year where we put Boston in the front every single time. They get the President's Trophy going away, and you think that they're going to make a deep run, and what happens? They lose in the first round. Every team that's in this top five can be beat. There are ways to do it. But right now, out of all of them, the Rangers are playing the best, number one.
All right, let's quickly go through some social media. Michigan Man says, do you agree with Biz Nasty? Of course, we're talking about
Paul Bissonnette.
That the Rangers are frauds.
Well,
listen,
he's doing that as a bit. Can we stop, please?
That's the thing. Is he goes after big fan bases to try to get a reaction. He's a big Leaf guy. Listen, if you're going to talk up the Leafs, then obviously the Rangers are way better than the Leafs. But you just mentioned, like, they're 3-0 against Boston, 2-0 against the Avalanche. They just won against the Florida Panthers. You can say the Panthers were shorthanded. So were the Rangers. I just think he's just trying to get fans' goats. I never heard his reasoning why, but like if the Rangers are frauds, then who is Boston not a fraud? They got bounced in the first round last year. Look at any of these. Colorado's not a fraud because they won a cup recently? Is Dallas not a fraud because they went to a Stanley Cup final recently? I mean, I think there's holes with all of these teams, honestly. Vancouver, what have they proven historically that this run is legitimate? I just think he's just trying to get Ranger fans' goats because he knows they've got an amazing following, and he's just trying to get a reaction.
Well, look, Don, you've said it a couple times before about the Jets on the Michael Kay show, right? Pretty safe bet to say that the Jets are going to fail this year because that's what usually happens. And is fake or fugazi for Paul Bissonnette not making the Stanley Cup, not winning the Stanley Cup? Because last year, this is not just a this year thing, by the way, Don. Bissonnette's been on this at least for 2 years, and guess what? He was proven right last year because the Rangers were the favorites in the series against the Devils, and they lost. So, yeah, can you call them frauds? Well, they lost.
But I can call anybody a fraud.
Sure.
I mean, they changed coaches. You got Peter Laviolette's got a cup. He's got a bunch of Stanley Cup final appearances. When you call somebody a fraud, to me, that means that you're not what you appear to be.
And by the way, he's said multiple times here, the Fugazis might not be Fugazi this year. So it's
right.
Look, it's fun. I think Paul's good for the game because he generates a lot of interest on social media. I think his podcast, Spit and Chicklets, does a lot for the game as well, and people seem to like to listen to it, and there are a lot of people in our business that want to be on it. But, in order to do what he does, he's got to generate some people. Yep. And the Rangers fan base on Twitter is very easy to incite. And he's certainly garnered a lot of attention for his Fugazi comments. And I think the only thing the Rangers could do is try to prove him wrong.
Let's see. Sean says, is it time to be concerned about the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah.
Still the second lowest goal against average in the NHL, but lost five straight and have played themselves out of home ice. Nashville missed a chance last night, but they got to the Jets on the ninth. Will they catch them? That's going to be tough to do. But, you know, the Winnipeg, I think we were pleasantly surprised by how well they played earlier in the season. So is it like coming back to roost a little bit? They're not an overly physical team.
They're fast. They are fast.
They are very fast. They are very fast, but they're not overly physical, especially their blue line. A little bit maybe smaller on the blue line. I like their defensemen, but they're not big. They're not a physical team. Hullabuck's a big goaltender, makes a lot of big saves, but you know they don't. Shifley, I think, easily is their best offensive player. Connor's right up there as well, but I think there's questions depth-wise from the scoring outside of their top six lines. I think they're just getting exposed a little bit. So concerned about them losing the three seed in the Central? No. Concerned that they can make a legitimate run and be one of the best NHL teams? Yeah, there's definitely a problem there. JJ says, what teams in the East can match the Rangers' combination of physicality and skill in the playoffs? And if they make it to the final, who would they match up great with? Wish I got to see you, Don, when you Rangers were in Raleigh, but didn't have a chance to attend the game. Oh, I missed seeing you, too.
I think there's two obvious ones, Carolina and Florida.
Carolina and Florida are the two teams. Now, Carolina, they'll meet earlier because they're in the same division, but Florida, I guess, would be the team you'd match up with in the conference final. That's a team that can match. They've got a lot of really, really fun players that are also physical. You know, Tkachuk is a great scorer, but he's also, you know, very physical. Barkov is probably one of the most underrated players in the league with his ability. I think he's more dangerous overall than Reinhardt, even though Reinhardt's the one with 51 goals, because I think he benefits from all the things that everybody else does to free him up. Plus, you talk about five-on-five play. I mean, he's got, like, more than half of his goals have come on the power play. Just kind of crazy.
Yeah. For the West, though, Don? I don't know. Can you say they match up well with Dallas and Colorado? I don't think the Rangers match up well with any. Like I think again, there's seven or eight teams that can win this cup based on the way they played in the regular season. And I think in any seven-game series, you could put a coin flip on almost any of them.
Yeah, I think they split with Dallas, right? They swept Colorado, but both games.
Dallas can steal a game with their offense easily.
Right. Colorado they won in overtime and the shootout, so those games were very close. They split with Winnipeg. Just going over my head.
That crazy Vancouver game in October, where they went back and forth and bet, what was it, a 6-5 overtime win?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
In Vancouver.
And they got really schooled here at the Garden, so they split with Vancouver.
Edmonton, they can, you know, you take a look at all the top teams in the West and you say, all right, man, yeah, Winnipeg, the way they're playing right now, I think they match up great with Winnipeg. I don't think Winnipeg is getting there, though.
We got a long way to go before we start talking about Stanley Cup final. Let's, all these teams got to still get out of the first round.
Pick 'em!
What's that?
Pick 'em!
Oh, yeah, good luck. I remember I got Dallas and Carolina in the beginning of the season. That pick's not looking bad.
No, look, I mean, if Dallas wins the division, which unless I think Colorado can give them a fight, I think the Winnipeg thing is gone. And even if they drop the way Winnipeg's playing, you feel pretty good about Dallas. And then Dallas has got to look. You got to beat. I know we had this conversation, but you got to beat Colorado eventually. Whoever comes out of that Central now, especially with the way Vancouver's struggling without Demko, they have a pretty good chance of making it to the Cup final. I kind of like all of them against Edmonton or Vegas. It really depends on if the Kings or the Predators want to make hay in the wild card, but Vancouver at healthy is tough. But I think I like Dallas against Edmonton. I like Dallas against Vegas.
I don't think I heard this wrong. I think Brian Boucher was telling me when he was in with Philly.
We trust him.
That Sergachev is skating with Tampa. I thought he was just done. God, if they were able to get him back, I mean, Tampa's just could be a scary, scary good team. I don't know how genuine, like, him coming back actually is. There's one thing skating, and there's nothing to actually go out there and play in playoff games, but we're still 3 weeks away from the playoffs, and if you're skating now, who knows? God, add him with Hedman and the acquisition of Dumba. Well, pretty scary. A lot of things can happen between now and when the cup is lifted. All right, back on Monday. We'll hopefully have EJ Raddick in the fold. Enjoy your weekend. Another big weekend of games. I'll have the call of the Rangers and the Coyotes tomorrow. So, Anthony, let's do this again on Monday.
I look forward to it.
Want to get in touch with us? You got to do the hashtag game misconduct thing. It's at Don LaGreca and Anthony Pusick. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.